You've heard our open themes with listeners talking about their vocations.
Missouri dairy farmers, love issues, etc.
And what they're doing while listening to issues, etc.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love issues, etc.
We're looking for more of these elements to include in our open themes. Tell us about your vocation, hobby, or what you do while listening to Issues Etc. Call the Issues Etc. comment line 24/7 at 618-223-8382. If you make a mistake, just start over. 618-223-8382. Thanks for listening, and thanks for contributing to Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
There are basic biological realities that even in an age where we are told no one is different from anyone else in any respect and everyone's completely and utterly unique all at the same time, we have to recognize, and sooner or later we do, especially between men and women. There's a clock ticking with women when it comes to childbearing. With men, well, that clock ticks, but it ticks oh so much slower. Does that have repercussions for the kind of things we tell women and men, but especially women, about their careers and what their life is going to be all about, what their highest priority in life ought to be? Joining us on this Friday afternoon, March the 15th, to talk about how an age of equality lies to women, Suzanne Venker, a married mother of two children in St. Louis. She's a regular contributor to Fox News, author of several books, including her latest, The Alpha Female's Guide to Men and Marriage, and a recent column titled, The Most Important Investment You'll Ever Make Is Not Your Career. Suzanne, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me.
You say that regarding women in an age of equality, we pretend. How so?
We pretend that men and women are equal, as in the same, that they are, in effect, interchangeable beings. And that's how most people, really anybody under, certainly under 30, but even under 40, has been raised to think. So they don't take into account the vast differences between the sexes, which affect the way they approach things like sex, marriage, parenting, work, you know, the whole gamut.
So in effect, women are told that their career is going to be their lifelong pursuit, their highest priority for life?
Right. And so they're taught to map out their lives similar to the way men map out theirs, as though there is not a glaring difference between women and men with respect to, of course, their bodies. Women are the ones who get pregnant, and they have, you know, a relatively short window for which to accomplish those major life decisions that are going to affect them more than anything else, which is who to marry and how many children to have. And the idea that who you marry and your family life is going to become not only the most important thing eventually, even if you don't see that in your 20s, but it's going to affect your happiness and well-being more than anything else you do. So it really makes zero sense to be so hyper-focused on career as though it becomes your identity or it will be your identity in life, because for most women, that just isn't true.
You had mentioned that window. Why is age 30 a turning point for many women?
If you look back at, you know, when women used to have children at 21 or 22 and where they are, like right now you have women on average having children at 27 and men at 29. But again, that's the average, so you have a handful of people really starting to think about it in their early 30s because they're very much aware that their fertility declines precipitously starting around age 35, and quite frankly, it really does before that. But, you know, but people do have children between 30 and 35, but over 35 is pretty much very complicated. And so you know that. You know that even if we don't talk about that or stress that in the culture, women know. And so right around 30, life starts to look very different. Up until then, they've just been completely focused on themselves and their careers as they were taught to do. And it's not until they start feeling that clock that they start thinking about marriage and family in a new way.
If you would, describe how a woman's priorities shift once they marry and begin having children.
I think it's safe to say that, and this is certainly true for men as well, but of course they're not the ones getting this message, the same one that women are, but you almost forget what you did before you had kids. I mean, it's really that dramatic. I mean, what are we here for if it's not family, right? So when we experience that and it becomes a focus, then things tend to fall away that seemed important before, because nothing is bigger. Nothing is bigger than having children and raising them. And you feel that viscerally. So the idea is that your job was really clear, that it was sort of inflated as being a more purpose-driven thing than just something that you do to embolden the more important thing, which is family.
So as far as career aspirations go after marriage and children, what typically happens for those women?
Well, this is interesting. You know, a lot of people don't realize that the vast majority of married mothers with children at home under 18 are either not employed or they're employed part-time. There are very few truly dual-income families that we assume is the norm, right, and see so much of in the media that we think it's just that's the majority. But in fact, it isn't. And that's because part-time jobs are much more attractive to married mothers than a career is, because one of the things that women are not taught is that there's a gigantic difference between a job and a career. A career is all-consuming. It's 24/7. And of course, raising a family is as well. So those two just don't mix well. And people learn that the hard way if they didn't know it before.
Jordan Peterson recently said that we are lying to women in our society. What was his point?
Just that women are routinely told every which way that their career is going to be the most important thing in their life. And for most people, most women, that just isn't the case. It's just not true. The most important thing in life is family and our relationships at home. And that becomes more and more evident the older we get.
You say that some of this lying is benign. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I was trying to distinguish between, there are a lot of women who are taught by their mothers who perhaps were very resentful toward their husbands, if particularly they are products of divorce and things didn't work out so well for their mothers. Instead of just saying, well, this is my story, yours can be different, a lot of mothers taught their daughters to never depend on a man and to be very career focused, thinking that they were, you know, somehow helping them, you know, avoid their own fate. And so I called it benign, meaning I was trying to separate it from the culture, which is very purposefully driving women into a certain mindset to serve a political goal.
So turning to that feminist culture, the not so benign lying that takes place there, what do feminists want for women and family? What are their goals?
So ultimately what they're looking for is power. I mean, that's clear as day. I don't think anybody doesn't know that much about feminism. It's about power. It's about power for women. And the only way to get that power, there is only one way to get that power for women, and that is for you to reject marriage and motherhood, really. I mean, that's what abortion's about. That's what full-time government subsidized daycare is about. That's what postponing marriage and motherhood as long as possible is all about. It's all about getting marriage and motherhood out of the way, because they know full well that the vast majority of women, once they are married with kids, are going to choose that over career, and that does not serve their ends.
So their picture is of it's kind of odd that they would do this even after, 40 or 50 years of trying it. Their picture is to somehow breed this desire to be a wife and a mother out of women permanently. Just all I want to do is pursue my career.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because that's what they do. And you have to remember, the people who are driving this boat are not like most women. They're unusual. You know, they're more masculinized. They reject marriage and motherhood themselves. Most feminists are either single or they're divorced, or maybe they have one child, or they're lesbian. You know, it's just a completely different group of people, at least the ones in power. They're not going to be successful if they don't enlist more women to think and behave the way they do.
I'm curious, what often happens when women believe that their career will be their highest priority through their entire lives? What does that end up bringing them later in life?
Tremendous dissatisfaction, tremendous unhappiness, really, I believe, lacking a center and a core, because they've put all of their eggs in this basket that is really quite flimsy. I mean, we are all replaceable in the workforce, all of us. I mean, that's the whole purpose of family, is because that's supposed to be where we're irreplaceable. That's not going anywhere if you give it your time and do it right and well and all of that. So the job has just been inflated, or careers have been inflated, to provide something that is unattainable. And so if you don't recognize that ahead of time and you just follow that path, you get to the point where 10, 15, 20 years down the road, your career no longer feels all that exciting. It's just work, like anything. And you can't take that to bed at night. So it's a very rude awakening. It's very harsh. It's my mission to keep that from happening, because it's so bad. I mean, it's just so, people's lives are being ruined for this political agenda.
And your point here that we need to make again is that men can pursue that career and there's no clock ticking on them in terms of fertility. But for women, the clock is ticking.
You know, it's just the way it is. And we can't do anything about it. It's never going to change. And so men can afford to wait and postpone marriage. Women cannot. But we don't say that. We talk about them as though, men meaning males and females, as though they're no different from one another. And it's supposed to be taboo to mention the fact that women have this clock. But they do. And so what happens is they spend a lot of wasted time with relationships that aren't going anywhere, sometimes even shacking up and living with men, and then the men won't marry them. And then, oh my gosh, if they extricate themselves from this relationship and they're 30, they're very scared. But he can just go, hey, you know, moving on and find a 24, 25-year-old. And it happens all the time.
How do we explain the truth that we've been discussing here over against the lies of in our age of equality to young women? How do we tell them, when they're hearing over and over again,
yeah,
that their future is in the workplace, the truth?
So the only way to really have it make a difference, in my opinion, is to do it in the home. My husband and I have raised our children very counterculturally from the day they were born. And so people have to know, parents have to wake up and sort of realize what the messages are and counteract them as best they can every single day in the home. Because what you ultimately tell your children and what you model for them will absolutely have the most effect in the long run, even though it often doesn't feel that way. It absolutely matters. And I think a lot of parents throw their hands up and think they don't have that power. And I also think they don't really aware of what's really going on. So it's kind of about waking up and parenting counterculturally.
Do we also need to be talking to young men about this? Because after all, the young men are going to be the ones who can say, why are we waiting?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Our sons need to be just as much a part of the conversation as our daughters, for sure.
Suzanne Venker is a married mother of two children in St. Louis, a regular contributor to Fox News. She's author of several books, including her latest, The Alpha Female's Guide to Men and Marriage, and a recent column titled, The Most Important Investment You'll Ever Make Is Not Your Career. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Suzanne, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
In Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., it's This Week in Pop Christianity with Pastor Chris Roseborough. We have not talked or discussed about Rick Warren in a long time, but he's out with 5 Purposes for Your Life, and as is typical of Rick Warren in the past, so today, kind of cherry-picking his sources. Then we'll play Issues, Etc., Soundbite of the Week. Stay tuned for Hour 2.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Hey Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore, thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.